Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us here on this Good Friday before our Easter celebration. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop, two of my favorites, are right here with me in studio. So come join us for New Life.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live, and this is Steve Arterburn here on Good Friday, along with two really good people on Good Friday, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hi, Steve.
Good.
Doing well. Thank you. You know, I was thinking about this day, and there have been some people that you wouldn't call this a Good Friday for them, and specifically the disciple named Peter. I doubt when he looked back on this Friday and how he fared when he was under pressure after having spent so much time with Jesus, even in the inner circle. I bet he didn't look back on this as much of a Good Friday.
Well, and you know, as my seven-year-old says, it wasn't so good for Jesus either. Right?
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It sure is.
Yeah, well, but Peter could also look back at that and say, boy, it was a bad day, but boy, did I learn something out of that. Because later when Jesus came to me and talked with me after the resurrection, wow, what an incredible experience.
And also, I think it's a good thing, and it's a good thing that it is in Scripture, because it just shows us that everybody's got something.
Mm-hmm.
And even walking side by side with Jesus doesn't produce perfection in your life.
Or perfect faith, and, you know, where you don't have any doubts or questions or concerns. That's a natural part of our growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And Peter really had to go to the depth of himself that.
Mm-hmm. He sure did. And, you know, maybe you feel badly about something that happened, and you think that you're beyond being forgiven, beyond hope or help. I thought that when I paid for an abortion, I literally thought, okay, that's it. God has to be done with me. But it's what happened on this day that makes all of those things forgivable. Dave, you wrote Forgiving the Unforgivable. Mm-hmm. I don't think
Great
you
book.
Could have written it without Good Friday.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't, because, I think people without the Lord and that understanding of how I have been forgiven, I think there's a limit to what I'm able to forgive. And there are unforgivable things in those people's lives because of that lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was reading some research on secular clinicians taking people through the forgiveness process, and it doesn't have a great result. You kind of end up at a place, if you believe what they say here, of resigned acceptance rather than transformed forgiveness.
Yeah, there isn't the transformation, there isn't the freedom that we experience when we because you know, if I really understand my place before God and how He views me from His place so high and majestic above everything, and He looks at scrawny little me and He forgives me because He loves me, that's awesome. And out of that reality comes my ability to forgive whatever.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, go right to your calls. Thanks for being with us here today on Good Friday. And don't forget, Sunday's coming. What a cool thing. that Sunday is just around the corner, and what a day of victory and rejoicing it is. Mm-hmm. We'll be back. Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls right after this. Thanks for being here.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt loved.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and I want to go over here to Omwa from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Listens on the internet. Hi there.
Hi.
How badly did I mess up that name?
No, it was really good.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm very surprised, yeah.
Omwa.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling us. Thanks for checking in with us. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful after the weekend.
What happened?
It's kind of like what you said just a second ago about going from resigned acceptance to transformational forgiveness. I think that was the key for me this weekend, learning about forgiveness and being able to connect that much more to Christ who forgave me for my sins.
And what was it that you had to forgive someone else of or yourself?
I definitely have a lot of shame from the way I was raised, abuse, and myself.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. And do you think you did make some major, bold move toward forgiveness?
Definitely. Definitely. I didn't even think of it. I didn't even really understand. I thought I had previously. Put it that way. Yeah. I didn't realize I had it. And that was much of what was keeping me stuck since being in a stuck group. But, yeah.
Okay, so tell me, on that Friday that you showed up there, what was it like when you went to the weekend on a Friday?
Horrible. I wanted to leave. I'm an avoider. And everyone was really nice. And I was like, I'm going home.
How dare
this.
They be nice to me?
confronting of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I came back, and it was wonderful. So.
So you did leave Omwa?
Not just for the break.
Okay.
No, but I'm not coming back. No, I'm not coming back. I'm just going to just not come back.
But you did. That's
but
good.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so what would you say would be the biggest thing that happened or the most important thing that happened?
I think in light of sharing some very personal and painful things, the amount of love and acceptance that I received from my group was just amazing.
Hmm.
I've never been in a place in which I was able to really experience the love of God's people in this way, with people who are 100% not judgmental, and despite having their own problems, were really, really helpful with yours. And I've been afraid of counseling and didn't like the idea, and the counselor was just wonderful. So it was just all in all a turning point in my life.
That's great.
Wonderful. Wow. Well, yeah, I want you to stay in touch with us, and we want to hear what happens in the future. And thank you for calling on a Friday and encouraging people that, you know, you may show up like many folks, and it's just a very, very negative experience for you to even be there. You hate it. And, you know, sure enough, just like what happened about 2,000 years ago, in so many cases, there is a resurrection that occurs by Sunday. And it's the resurrection of you to a new life, or the life that God has called you to. So I hope that you'll come join us for one of these, and I hope that there'll be a lot of people this Sunday celebrating a new life, celebrating a resurrection that would not have been possible if it wasn't for Christ dying on the cross, accepting the penalty for sin, and rising from the grave on Sunday to be with the Father, to plead or to make our case that this person, us, you, me, can now come in the presence of a holy God. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go over here to John from Quincy, Massachusetts. I believe he's on WEZE. Hello there.
Hi.
How are you? And please speak right up there, because Quincy's a long way away.
Okay. I'm sorry. This is my first time calling.
Well, welcome.
It's okay.
I listened to your show for, I don't know, 5 years now. I'm 26, and I have a question about dating. After I bought one of the books, Finding Out Dating and Worth Keeping, it really helped me getting prospects. Now, the problem that I have is how to deal with the prospects.
Okay, well, do you have a prospect in mind?
Yes, I
good.
Do.
Okay. And then what's
my problem,
the problem
is making the decision to move, to take the next step. And sometimes I just stop and I step back, I guess, and the prospect, I guess, gets cold and goes away. But you always, there is always some, you know, someone else that comes around, and then I just have a hard time taking the next step. And now I have... Mm-hmm.
What steps have you taken?
I'm sorry?
What steps have you taken? At what point do you start to freeze? Like, have you
at the point
asked her out? Have you gone out?
Yeah. Gone out and talk. And then when I find out the things are getting serious, I don't know, I freak out, I guess.
So it is...
Maybe not freak out, but I get afraid.
Does it get serious before you're ready, John? Is that what you're describing? Like, I'm not ready to get this serious, and then you just freeze up.
No, it's just that I just think that's not the right person, and I just don't find any problem with the person. Just me, I guess.
But you're sure there's something somewhere.
Yeah. Well, John, I think people are not going to believe the brilliance of this next question. But what are you afraid of?
I don't know, maybe commitment, or like, if it doesn't work out, I have to break up. And I did break up a couple of times, and it's just a horrible situation and feeling it, you know, it just hurts.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to recover, and then if it goes again, and then it doesn't work, and then it's just a problem another time.
You know what, John, it's interesting because women typically are guilty of kind of playing the movie forward too soon. And, you know, they've got themselves pictured. What would this guy be like if I were married to him? And so we tend to get carried away in that way. For you, you're playing the movie forward down the negative path. You're assuming it's not going to work out. And how am I going to get out of this?
Yes, that's
so,
exactly.
No wonder. I mean, it sounds like dating for you is just like this really painful process.
Like pulling teeth.
Right. Instead of, you know what, I'm getting to know another person who is responsible for themselves. You know, two adults coming together, becoming friends, getting to know each other, and taking it one step at a time. And you know what? Every relationship doesn't work out until you find one that you want to spend the rest of your life with. They all end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're all growth experiences.
Yes. It doesn't mean they're all failures. It's just they all end at some point. And so that's just part of it. And yet it doesn't feel good. But look at, by avoiding the bad things, you're keeping out all of the good that could be there.
I guess I'm just afraid.
Okay, this girl you're dating now that you started dating, is she a good, is she a neat gal?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand.
The girl that you're dating right now,
Do you like her?
I'm not
her?
Dating.
Oh, you're not dating.
I'm not dating,
dating
yet. I'm just...
Oh, you got somebody in mind, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's somebody in mind. But I'm just wondering if I should move on. And I don't know.
No, I would suggest you follow up on that. And then I'm going to tell you what I think you need to do next. You know, you date her for a couple times. And then when you start to feel panic and fear inside, then you date her one more time. You just go one step beyond where you're comfortable. Don't marry her.
we're not talking marriage.
Because that's
yet.
Where your mind goes, you know. I think, oh, is this the gal I want to marry? Don't even think that. Just say, you know, I need to go one step further and get to know her a little bit better. And then if that goes well, do it another time. Just kind of take it one little step at a time. And you probably need some guy friends around who will kind of encourage you to do that and say, yeah, she's a neat gal. Take her out again, you know. And
yeah, I had guys that said that to me. But
good. Okay.
I'm afraid of hurting her too, you know.
Well,
you're not going to hurt her because if you go out 5-6 times and then decide that's not the person, that's part of the process. And she may be somewhat disappointed, but she moves on too. I'm just saying go one step beyond. Go one more date beyond your comfort zone.
Okay.
And see what happens. And then and maybe you stop then. And then maybe you date another girl and you go a little bit longer. You know, just keep going a little bit beyond your comfort zone. And face what you're afraid of. That's the key that you've got to follow through on.
Oh yeah, that was helpful.
So
I also encourage people to buy the book.
Pardon?
I encourage people to buy that book.
Oh, Finding a Date Worth Keeping.
Yeah,
that's good. Now you just got to follow it.
No, but there's always something in there that you have to grow on, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but I was helpful.
You know, it's. Thank you. And I'm going to send you a copy of Avoiding Mr. Wrong. And, you know, if you read it and you find yourself in there, then there'll be some other things to work on. And, you know, here's the thing that's
why,
so
why don't
interesting.
You send him Changes at Heal also? Because that might
I will
be
do that
good.
Also. Yeah, good idea. But here's the thing that I think is so interesting is that we encourage people, especially men, to get in touch with their feelings and all. And then, like in this instance, we're essentially saying, and don't listen to them. You know, go against those feelings. Don't let them rule the day here. And it's so important that we know how we feel, but also realize we may not feel that way for healthy reasons, or those feelings may not lead us in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
And so be willing to make a decision against the feelings that maybe you've discovered for the first time.
Especially those of fear.
Right.
Because fear grows bigger if I don't face it. But if I face it grows smaller.
Well, and Dave, that's as right. you were talking about, when you push through it, you learn that you can survive it.
Yeah.
And that it's not as big as you thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right, I want to go to line 4. I want to talk to Mary from Derry, New Hampshire. She listens on WDER. Hello, Mary. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi.
I bought plenty of your books. I've listened to you guys for years. It's a little complicated, but I'll try to make it brief. Right now I'm a single mom, myself and my 15-year-old son, who's the youngest of several children. I've had 2 marriages and 2 divorces, much to my dismay, and I think I'm carrying guilt from that as well. In actuality, my first marriage was 31 years to the father of all of my children.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
We're both Christians. He had bipolar disorder. Discovered pretty late in our marriage, and he was the issue was, you know, most of our fights concerning other women, because he just couldn't seem to control himself and his urges to really ogle other women when we were together. And I would say, "What are you doing?" And, you know, he'd say, "This has nothing to do with you." And you know, "You're just paranoid. You're just..." He would constantly just, you know, do that to me. And then he walked out on me on the day I buried my mom.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
I'm so
and
sorry.
Me and my family, so it was a trauma from the whole family.
Yeah.
And then wanted me back at the very last minute before the divorce was final, and I refused. I had met another nice gentleman, and we ended up getting married, and that lasted for a year and a half because, if anything, he was even worse than the first. He ended up being even worse, and our arguments would be about that. All the while, my son's here, you know, on the scene, heard some of the arguments, and then on the day that he twisted my arm during an argument, was the day that my son and I left because I wasn't going to stay there and, and take any more or wait for it to come down to my son.
Okay.
My problem right
now,
we've been, my son and I, alone for about 4 years.
Yeah.
And my son, I'm hearing at 15, is he's repeating a lot of the things to me that they once said to me. You're paranoid. You're, you know, I believe I caught him once on a less than reputable website, and he was extremely apologetic. I do have BC.
Okay, well, hold on. I've got to go to a break, and while we're doing that, you think about what the exact question is going to be. We'll be back after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And, you know, it is tough anytime you're in a divorce, but especially when you have a son that starts to say some of the things that your ex-husband said. Mary, what is your question for us today?
Well, I have bought him Every Young Man's Battle. I have given it to him. He's a good Christian kid, but he said, I don't need to read this. I'm not into that. And I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. However, how can I feel like he's angry at me. Maybe that he blames me. He is in counseling, and so am I. But I just don't know how to deal with this. I'd like to, you know, our relationship was always good, but he is 15. We've gotten to this point, and I think the anger, he probably just blames things on me, and also the guilt that I have, because I feel like maybe I should have kept my mouth shut, maybe I should have just, you know, not said anything to his dad, and we'd probably still be in that marriage, and I
thought you were going to say we'd still be in that mess.
Yeah.
which it was. But
okay, so what is the question then? What's the question?
Well, how can I help my son? I mean, how can I get him to...
Okay, is that the question?
To stop saying things that his father and this man said to me, or how do we deal with
that's really,
like this?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really not what you want, is him to stop saying this stuff. What you want is him not to have a need to say things and to help him down a little bit deeper. Dave, Jill, what do you guys think?
Well, you know, one of the things, Mary, is he's obviously angry. And, yeah, he's probably angry with you because, you know, you struck out twice. And so he doesn't have a dad in the house. And I would want him to talk to me about that and not explain, just listen, but say, you know, I want to hear why you're so angry. And as he tells you that, don't say, yeah, but, you need to understand, just listen, say, you know, and the most you say is, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. And let him do it, you know, not yelling, but just, you know, just talk to me about it. And if you can't do it that way, then call whoever's seeing him as a counselor and saying, you know, I need him to talk to me about his anger. Can you help him do that, you know, in front of me? Sometime are you open to that, so that you might go into a session with him and his counselor, mm-hmm. where the counselor helps him express to you what he's feeling. But the other thing is, you know, who are the men in his life besides his dad? Does he have You have a brother? Do you have your dad still living?
He has two brothers who live out of state. They both are close by phone, but we don't see each other very often. He also has a very good pastor who does spend time and try to connect with him and from time to time, and he's about in his late 30s.
And he's involved in the youth group at the church?
It's a very small youth group, small church, but yes.
Good. Okay. Those are pluses then.
Right. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could even say something to the pastor about the fact that you believe that your son is angry with you. Mm-hmm. And if he ever had a chance to talk with him about that, mm-hmm. that would be helpful. And I'm hoping that the counselor is a man as well.
He is, yeah.
Right. You know, I think it's okay to let him know that the things he's saying to you, you know, are unacceptable, and that you...
His anger's not.
Right. His anger is not unacceptable, but the way in which he's expressing it to you is, and that you very much want to hear the anger. And, you know, I like all those suggestions. If he can't tell you directly, maybe he needs to even write it out. You know, to just tell him, write everything horrible you'd want to say, no restrictions, anything you'd want to say to me, and say, now that's not the letter you're going to show me, but first you just let it rip on paper, and then you sit with it, you know, for a while, and then go back and rewrite what you want me to hear, and let's talk about it, because I don't want to have this anger between us. I want to help you through this. And Mary, remember, you can't change what has happened. What you can do now is it's about how you handle things now. Okay? You can't change the trauma. So beating yourself up over that isn't going to be helpful to him or you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But when trauma happens, when things aren't perfect in our lives, how do we then deal with them? Do we ignore them? Do we just, you know, kind of push it aside? Do we go back into guilt, or are we going to deal with it and say, you know, we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's talk through what happened. I'm here. I can listen. I can handle it.
One other thing is, you want to be sure that you don't end up being the tough parent and the dad is just the fun parent. You want to be sure that you're doing some things that you would absolutely perhaps not ever choose on your own, but you're going to movies that you know he would want to see. You're doing stuff, taking him places.
Connecting with him.
Just because you want him to have some fun, and you're around. And you make that a priority. It doesn't seem like it's a very deep priority, but it is. You need to be sure there are fun things that you're doing with your child.
Yeah, we do. We do. I do make sure that we do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to help him get through this time. I expect that he's angry, and but I just I'm hoping we can get through this.
Yeah, you can.
You've got some good support, Mary, and that's a plus. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to send you two books. One is every young man's battle. The other is preparing your son for every young man's battle. Either of those would be great for you. And then I'm going to send you another book. It's called Every Young Man, God's Man. And it really is a call for him to have integrity. If you're a man and you're hearing this and you know your son is being tough on your ex-wife, maybe this would be a time to say, I ought to help her. I ought to fix this situation. We'll be back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program. This is Terry McIntosh, and I hope you're enjoying this Good Friday classic program from the New Life Live archives. I want to take just a minute to remind you that if you're ordering things on Amazon, you can help New Life out by using smile.amazon.com and choosing New Life Ministries as your charity of choice. We're the one in Lake Forest, California. It doesn't cost you any more, and you contribute to helping us reach hurting people. Another way to help us is by joining Club New Life. That's our monthly giving program. It starts at $30 per month. And for that, you get a choice of one of three thank you gifts for joining: a USB drive with four teaching videos by Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, or all eight books of the Arterburn Wellness Series, or a USB drive, which includes 71 audio teachings. Also, you'll receive the monthly Club New Life CD, access to the Club New Life video library, discounts, quarterly resources, and more. And if you can do that, it will really help us out here in the spring and all year long as well. If you're already a Club New Life member, you can get any one of those thank you gifts by increasing your monthly giving by at least $5 per month. We thank you very much for any way you can support us. Just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or you can sign up online at newlife.com. Now let's get back to this classic program from the New Life Live archives on this Good Friday.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop. I tell you what let's do. Let's go over here and let's talk with Mike from Sydney, Ohio. He's on line 6 and he listens on XM satellite radio. Hi there.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, Mike.
Great. Speak right up there, Mike.
Okay, I'll get right to my question. Mm-hmm. I got a 19-year-old son who's claims he's homosexual. He still lives at home, and my question is, where do I draw the boundary between unconditional love and enabling him?
Okay.
Well, you know, one of the things I would think about, Mike, is, okay, what if he
What if he was interested in girls? How would I deal with that? You know, you sure wouldn't let him sleep over. You probably wouldn't have him over for dinner until it got really serious. So I think it's important that you accept your son and that he knows that, you love him no matter what.
Right.
But he doesn't need to kind of flaunt it all over the place in terms of the home, because it's your home.
Right. He doesn't do anything in the house, or he doesn't even have a boyfriend or anything that I know of. He just claims that he is, and whether he's even acting on it, I don't honestly know. But he wants to lead me and his mother to believe that he is.
Well, the other thing I would do is I would talk to him about why he thinks he's that way, and get him to talk to you about it. Because sometimes when you can talk to somebody about something that you're struggling with inside, I mean, we saw mm-hmm. that on the weekend, you know, when people can begin to talk about it, it loses its hold, it loses its power. And so, you know, one of the things I think parents in your situation are, they're afraid to get into it. They're afraid to talk about it because they don't know what to say. Well,
right.
All you got to do is basically listen and keep him talking and seek to understand it. He knows your position. He knows it's not something
right.
that
right. And we talk very openly about it. I mean, very
good.
Openly.
Oh,
that's
good.
You know, I just thank God that I have that opportunity to speak truth to his life, you know.
Yeah.
Now, whether I change it or not, I don't know.
But, mm-hmm.
Well, and
I mean, he's so open. It's amazing. I mean, we're a very open
that
family.
That is so great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I would think, Mike, I mean, great that you have that rapport. So, you know, putting out there, okay, you know that this is our position, and that this isn't what we would choose for you. But given that, I want to understand. And it's not about me convincing you or you convincing me, but I want to be somebody that you can bounce your ideas off of. And I'll ask you questions and things, but let's just talk about, you know, what this is like for you, how you feel like you got here, what questions you have about it, do you have doubts about it, and be that person that stays in touch with him and gives him opportunity to explore his own ideas about mm-hmm. it. Because if you can stay a little, you know, not judgmental about it, then he can kind of think for himself if this is what he wants or not.
That's a good stage to do that. Isn't
it? Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yes.
And I got in that book, 101 Questions About Homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
then also got a book from Exodus,
good.
USA or whatever it was, and I was trying to get him to go to one of the Love One Out conferences with me, but he didn't want no part of that.
Okay.
Okay.
If you go to InterVarsity Press on the internet, they have some good books for parents too.
Where?
InterVarsity Press. It's a publishing house, and I've got them
well,
in
and
my.
Well, what about
office,
Desires and Conflict?
Yeah, I have that.
That would help. Joe Dallas.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Good. You've done
now,
good things.
Just a quick thing. Want to be sure that you're always finding creative ways to do creative things with him, as a creative father, that he would enjoy, not just things to fix him.
Right.
Okay.
Just man-to-man
like
things, Steve?
Mm-hmm. Well, don't yeah. Make, I mean, what...
Don't make
what,
this the focus
what would
of
he
everything.
Love to do?
Right.
Yeah, what would he love to do tonight?
Tonight, I don't know. I know, you know, I took him to... We went to a Monday night football game, and he's really into football. And you know, I'm sure I've fallen short when he was younger. You know, I wasn't quite as... wise, I guess I am now, and but you know I try not to blame myself. But
good.
On the same token, it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very tough, but I would just encourage you to continue down that path, you know, and just try to find things he likes to do. And if he, you know, loves art, you go to art galleries or whatever. But if it, you just want to find those ways to connect with him and let him know that you love him no matter what, and I hope you do love him no matter what. It sounds like you do. Well, it's got to be one of the toughest things that we ever deal
mm-hmm.
with as parents, is that right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope and pray that a connection will be made there. Very, very hard. And I think everybody's trying, you know, you want to do the right thing. You want to encourage the child, not encourage anything that is out of line from what you believe is God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I hope something we've said there is helpful to you. I tell you what, let's do. Let's take another caller, and let's jump over here to Dawn from Manchester, New Hampshire, listens on SDER. Dawn, are you there?
I am.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. You were at the New Life Weekend.
I was.
And you shared.
It was an amazing weekend. I was afraid to come just because I was alone, but God met me every step of the way, although my flight got canceled when I was going out, so I had to spend 7 more hours at the Washington airport, but that's that.
Well, you called us, what, 1 week before or 2 weeks before, saying you'd never done anything on your own, had never gotten away, and you were scared.
Yes, I called you that. 3 days before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was scared, and, you know, I could just tell that everybody was praying for me because, like I said, God met me every step of the way, you know, from meeting somebody right in line waiting for my room, that Therese, and maybe she's listening, she was not only there, but she was in my group therapy. Which was great.
That's so great.
And I just met all these wonderful women, and it was amazing. And, you know, the surrender service that we had?
Yeah.
And the beach glass, or the glass beach, yeah. Well, I realized when you were talking, Steve, that I had really never surrendered anything. I think that I just kept taking control.
Wow.
And so the service meant so much to me, and I wrote down my surrender, and I went up, and I picked a piece of blue glass. Actually, it was blue glass that actually kind of looked plasticky because it was cobalt blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had it in my pocket all day yesterday and at the airport, and it just because of what you said about it, and it symbolized, and although I know it's just a symbol, I got to the airport and at home, and I showed it to my husband, and he dropped it, and it broke.
Oh, man.
And I got in the car, and I thought, I kind of went back to my old ways, and I didn't realize that Satan would, like, attack me as soon as I walked off the plane.
Hmm.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, it was all for nothing, you know. So I almost, like, took it back, you know what. Hmm. And so I guess my husband's like, I'll get you another piece of glass. I'll find something else. And it wouldn't replace it because of that time. You know, my husband went home and he epoxied it together, so I don't know if it'll stay together, but, you know, he really tried. And I guess I just needed you guys to say, you know what, it was just a symbol. And,
you want to know what the test was?
Do I want to know what the test was?
Yeah, why it broke.
Absolutely.
It's to show you that you really don't have control over everything.
Hmm.
And you could, and here's your husband trying to get it all back, but you don't have control. It broke.
No.
And that's okay.
Okay.
And if it doesn't stick together, then you've got 2 pieces of glass.
Yeah.
I got 3 pieces.
But
three
I would
pieces.
Say to him, I would say to him, I would rather have a piece of glass that you gave me out of love than I picked up out of a bucket at a seminar. So, honey, let's book the reservation today for the beach we're going to go to.
In Hawaii.
Where you're going to find that glass. Hawaii's great, Florida, the Caribbean. And let's make something huge out of this little thing rather than just, essentially sweep it under the rug. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like
like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. This is our final segment here on New Life. And let me encourage you, Dr. Dave has written a wonderful book for couples, Just Us, and also he and his wife wrote the book Better Than Ever. You can also find Dr. Jill Hubbard's book at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And that book is The Secrets Women Keep and The Secrets That Young Women Keep. Wonderful, wonderful books, wonderful resources. And all you have to do is call us, and we will tell you all about them. Let's see. Our final caller, let's jump over here. And, we'll talk with, how about Darren from Atlanta, Georgia, WNIV. Hi there.
Hi there. It's nice to be on your show. I have a couple of questions. I just recently got involved with a young lady for about 3.5 months. Everything seemed to be going okay, you know, praying together, going to church together. It just seemed like everything was just working out fine. Suddenly, seemingly, she just got, well, the best way I can describe it is just kind of cold, standoffish. I decided, well, okay, maybe I need to back away for a little while, too, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to take my time and just, you know, see how this goes. Well, I did. And then she basically wants to talk to me. She text messages me, and she talks and tells me she wants to talk, and we talk. And she says she's grown a coldness in her heart towards me. And I said, for what? She said something to the effect of, you had called me one time, and I was over at my neighbor's house. She's very close with her neighbors in her neighborhood. They're very good friends. And you sounded like you were angry with me because I went over to my friend's house. Then she said she has a special needs son. We frequently call each other, and sometimes I would call her son, you know, to find out if she was there, if she was asleep, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I couldn't get through to her. She accused me of just using her son just to call her, and those were just one of the things that kind of made her heart turn cold. And I'm like, okay. I explained to her that that wasn't true, that I've always, you know, never had a problem with talking to your son. I would never use him for you, you know, use him in any way or manipulate him. And it just all seemed like excuses to basically distance herself from me, and it just seemed like she just got bored. So I talk to other people, and all I get from other people is basically, well, it's 3.5 months. You shouldn't be that attached to people. You shouldn't get that close to people in 3.5 months. But it doesn't help me because I'm still hurting. Mm-hmm. You know, it still hurts.
What's the question for us? Because we are about out of time.
Okay. The question is, how do I cope with this? How do I deal with this? Am I being too unreasonable, you know, or too attached to someone who I've only known for 3.5 months? And how can I better deal with this hurt that I'm feeling?
Well, yeah, I think, Darren, one of the things when people are saying you shouldn't be that close in that length of time, you know, they're trying probably to be helpful, and there's probably a kernel of truth in that. Not for you, but for her, in that it sounds like she just got scared of the closeness, and now she's pushing you away, and that's, you know, you go cold when you're trying to push somebody away because you're scared, and I don't think you can blame yourself or say anything. It's just kind of like, you know, this happened. It was going so well, and all of a sudden she panicked and she withdrew, and you're never going to really understand why. So I would, what I would do is I would back away very graciously. I would give her some room and just say, you know, I'm sorry you're feeling cold. Maybe we kind of went too fast. You know, I really care about you. I care about your kids. And I'll give you all the room you need. You know, there's no pressure here, no rush here. You know, let's just kind of we'll put it on hold for a while. Mm-hmm. And see if that doesn't kind of change the dynamic for her. Won't instantly, mm-hmm. but then she may be coming back around and see what happens. That's what I would suggest.
Well,
I like that.
Yes, go ahead, Steve.
No, I was going to say I really like that because mm-hmm. it actually calls on him to be patient and have character and wait, and she'll see that too.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and yes, and people deal with closeness differently, Darren. And it sounds like you're somebody that pursues and likes to move in and be close emotionally. Yeah. Yes. And that for her, you know, I'm hearing in what you said a lot of her fears that are kicking in. And so sometimes when, like Dave was saying, when things start to get closer, a person starts to get stirred up and they don't know why, so they start backpedaling. So I'm hearing a lot of her fears that are getting put out on you because you're saying, gosh, this doesn't really fit. This isn't making sense to me. So, you know, it's always good we examine ourselves and say, okay, what's my part in this? And if it doesn't really fit, to see, well, maybe this is something about her. And this is part of dating. And this is part of the risk, is that you move forward and you keep taking it one step at a time and you see what happens. And sometimes a door closes. And that doesn't necessarily mean you were wrong, but use it as something to look at and learn more about yourself and take those feelings of wanting to be close with someone and put it towards the next person. You know, eventually you find somebody who's ready to be close just like you are.
All right. I hope that you can hear that because, you know, the worst thing that you could do is push forward. She kind of fakes it for a while. And then you marry her and discover that every time there's a little bit of this or that, she's running away from you and distant. And that would be tough. So as in all dating, the slower, the better, unless mm-hmm. you're one of these people that stays engaged for 8 years, and that's
yeah,
not what
we're talking about. Yeah, there's a balance.
On either extreme.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, we are so glad that you have joined us today for New Life. And we love getting to be here and do this. We've created a little 100 Days of Serenity. It's a devotional book, and a lot of people love this little book. And we've done 100 Days of Character and 100 Days of Prayer, and now 100 Days of Serenity. And what we're trying to help people see is that even in the midst of the worst of times, we can have a peace or a serenity, a settledness that wouldn't be there if we didn't totally trust God for whatever it is that we're going through. You know, I just think there is something absolutely amazing and powerful about being able to tell yourself it's going to be okay because you know that God is in control. You don't have to. And even the worst things turn out okay. The bad news eventually will produce some good news one of these days. And in our economy today, you know, there's a time right now where many things have been stripped away from people. And once they're stripped away, we often have time for the things that really mean more. At New Life, you know, we're in the same financial situation as everybody. It's very, it's uncertain as to how long people will continue to give and what they will do. And I just hope and pray that you'll do what we did. We said, rather than back up, we're going to go forward. More people than ever will need help, and we want to help them. We want to be there. So do that. We don't want you to be foolish, and we don't want you to feel like you should ever give out of being manipulated or pressured. But if God's nudging you in that area, I hope and pray that you'll respond to God and do it. Because what we're seeing happening through New Life, drug addicts getting off drugs. In fact, one I was talking about the other day is now buying tents and boots and sleeping bags for the homeless. Oh my goodness, what transformation can occur? And if you want to be a part of a life totally changing direction, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and help us. Or if you need help, you call us too. Thank you, Dr. Jill. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. All of you, God bless you. We'll see you here Monday. Have a great Easter. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.